I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In a few minutes, we're going to look at what it's like to live when you're HIV positive in Vermont in 2020. But first, we talk politics. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders claimed victory in yesterday's New Hampshire primary, but only just. He and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg will each get 9 pledged delegates out of New Hampshire. And Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar was within 5% of the frontrunners, claiming 6 delegates going into the next primaries in Nevada and South Carolina. In the Republican primary, incumbent President Donald Trump claimed more than 85% of the vote tally in a record-breaking voter turnout for an incumbent primary. Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld doesn't appear to have reached the 10% threshold for any delegates. Joining us now to talk a little bit about what the narrow Sanders victory in the Democratic primary might reveal about how Democratic voters are weighing their choices is VPR political reporter Peter Hirschfeld. Pete was observing results from the Bernie Sanders primary night headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire last night. Hi, Pete. Nice to talk with you.
Good to talk with you, Jane.
So early results, early in the evening, were suggesting a bigger margin of victory for Bernie Sanders than what he is ending up with. And that's certainly much smaller than his 2016 victory over Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire primary. So I'm curious, as the night went on and the lead became smaller, what you heard from Sanders supporters at the Manchester event.
There was some bated breath there for a while. At Sanders' election night rally in Manchester, it became clear, though, by 10 or 10:30 that Pete Buttigieg was not going to be able to close the gap. And Sanders' race really didn't feel like he needed the kind of overwhelming win in New Hampshire that he got in 2016. If you look at the big primary states coming up over the next 3 weeks, Sanders is polling far, far better than he was 4 years ago, and his supporters are feeling optimistic about the path ahead. I talked to a Massachusetts resident last night named Edward Whittem. He's what we refer to as a super volunteer, one of these unpaid, diehard supporters who devote an extraordinary amount of time and effort to phone banking and canvassing in states they don't even necessarily live in. He says he thinks American voters want an ideological referendum in the general election, and he said he thinks Bernie Sanders is the only candidate who's in a position to make it one.
I think what people are really kind of starting to spoil for, if you will, is a real left versus right fight, to really have it out for the first time, you know, in a half century. And let's see, you know, a lot of the polling indicates that a majority of Americans are very much in favor of the Sanders agenda, broadly speaking. I think people would like to see that, would like us to see us have that fight and see let the chips fall where they may.
So you hear Whittem there saying, let's make this election about conservatism versus democratic socialism, which is exactly what Pete Buttigieg and many of his supporters say Democrats need to avoid in November. Buttigieg may have come in second yesterday, but he sure delivered what sounded like a victory speech last night. And it's interesting that when Buttigieg has negative words for another candidate, they're usually directed at Bernie Sanders, suggesting that Sanders can't unite the party or that his platform is going to alienate more moderate voters. I think Buttigieg's campaign feels like if he can stay ahead of all these other non-Sanders candidates in the campaign, then most of their support is going to eventually flow to him.
Well, it's interesting, yeah, this question of who won the night. Bernie Sanders had the most votes. He and Pete Buttigieg will share the same number of delegates coming out of New Hampshire. But it sounds like different supporters of different campaigns sort of took victory to mean different things.
Certainly. And, you know, I think that you can point to three people who can rightly claim some form of victory right now, one of them being Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah. Tell us about Amy Klobuchar's support.
I went to the Ward 10 polling station in Concord early Monday morning, found a woman braving this cold drizzle outside the public elementary school. She was holding a long piece of thin lumber with 3 Klobuchar signs stapled to it. And here's what she had to say about the Minnesota senator.
I really wanted somebody with political experience that has moved legislation. And I know how hard it is to get both sides to agree to move legislation, and I think that her record is really important for all of us, that we can't keep demonizing the other side.
So that was actually four-term Concord Representative Christy Bartlett there. She endorsed Cory Booker originally, but had to find an alternative, obviously, after he dropped out. And I think what Bartlett has to say tells us a lot about why Amy Klobuchar did so surprisingly well yesterday. You heard Bartlett say she wants someone who can reach across the aisle to build bipartisan legislation. And she says she wants to avoid a candidate who's going to demonize the other side, which is a not-so-subtle reference to Bernie Sanders, I think. Klobuchar is staking out the kind of middle ground that she thinks Democrats can hang a broad tent over. We've heard her say it's okay to be pro-life in a Democrat, for instance, that there's room for everyone in this Democratic coalition that she's trying to build. And that's a sentiment that obviously resonated with a lot of voters in New Hampshire.
You know, it's interesting, Pete, in the quotes that you've pulled from people you spoke to, this sense in some ways of saying, look, we need to come together, but also we need to come together around a candidate who's going to be able to beat the incumbent president. And then, you know, so that sort of leads to these questions of, you know, is it one person who voters see as electable against President Trump, or is it sort of like, you know, I'll vote for anybody as long as it's somebody on the left? And, you know, I'm curious because in 2016, a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters had this mentality of, I'm only in it for Bernie, and if he is not the nominee, I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And some of them were also saying, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. Are you seeing specifically in the Sanders camp a more openness this time around to supporting the eventual nominee, whoever it happens to be?
So based on my superficial survey last night, the answer is that is yes to that question. In 2016, the prospect of a Donald Trump presidency was sort of this abstract concept for progressives and Democrats. As we go into this 2020 election, they understand and feel the consequences of that election in a much more concrete way. I talked to a woman named Maura Graziano last night, and I asked her what she thinks is at stake in November.
This is off of the Biden bus, but I think it is true, is the soul of the nation. It really, who are we as a people? Who are we as a country?
And you think that we're going to find the answer to that?
I hope and pray that we find the answer that we are better than we look right now.
So I just want to note here that there are a lot of people who think Donald Trump has done a stellar job as president, right? People mm-hmm. in New Hampshire yesterday, people in Vermont, people all over this country, and they're ready to work as hard for his reelection as Democrats are for his defeat. But Sanders himself told supporters in no uncertain terms last night that he's going to enthusiastically support whichever Democratic candidate wins the nomination. And that's definitely not a sentiment that he was expressing at this stage of the primary process in 2016. There is some polling out there that suggests Sanders supporters are not as likely to rally around the eventual nominee as other candidates are. But among Sanders supporters, I don't think we're seeing the same kind of hate and vitriol toward other candidates this year that they had for Hillary Clinton 4 years ago.
You know, despite the peppy music playing in the background of the people you talked with at the Sanders event last night, I'm curious what the mood felt like to you, Pete, because there is this peppy music, and certainly we heard a lot of cheers at the candidates' speeches last night. But there's also in some of these clips and some of the voices of voters that I've been hearing interviewed all over the country, this sort of sense of doom or worry about what might happen. And I'm curious what the actual mood felt like to you there.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something, Jane. Of course, you know, you've got, it's a rally, right? People are holding up their signs. They came there to celebrate. They came there to cheer. But when you talk to people about why are you so invested right now? Why are you so emotionally invested in Bernie Sanders or this election, you don't have to go very far to find this sense of almost existential dread that underpins all of this. And people feel, you know, in 2016, I think it was a lot of optimism and hope for what could be. And in 2020, it feels like there's a lot more gloom and fear over what will happen if they don't win.
Difficult then for candidates, too, who want to both have that fired up, ready to go sort of sense of rally, but also want to talk about what they see as at stake and what they think the potential voters see as at stake.
Sure. Though fear can be a pretty powerful motivator sometimes, and Democrats are going to need turnout in 2020. Each of the candidates in this race is going to need their people to turn out for them in these key primary races. And then Democrats collectively are going to need a big turnout in November if they want to defeat an incumbent. It's difficult to take out an incumbent president. So I'm sure they're happy using whatever emotional pull is going to be necessary to drive that sense of urgency.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, it was a record-breaking voter turnout for an incumbent primary on the GOP side in New Hampshire last night, as Donald Trump claimed all of the available delegates in New Hampshire, it would appear, since Bill Weld didn't seem to get the 10% threshold for any delegates, Pete.
Also, though, numbers on the Democratic side that rival 2008, which is a record year there. There was a lot of concern and consternation among Democrats coming out of Iowa when they did not see the kind of record turnout that they anticipated. New Hampshire kind of flipped that switch and I think has brought a little more comfort to a lot of Democrats that were worrying maybe people are not as engaged and interested in what's going on right now as they had hoped.
That's Peter Hirschfeld, who reported from what wound up being the Bernie Sanders victory party last night in Manchester, New Hampshire. Pete, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Jen.